What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, Smoking Weed and Talking Mixed Martial Arts. This is episode number 63. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We are coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. On today's episode, we're going to be talking all about the results of UFC 249. We're going to take a look ahead to the next two fight nights in 3 days coming out of Jacksonville, Florida. We're going to spend some time talking about the championship pictures in many divisions today. But before we get into all that, let's get started with our weed of the week. Smoke weed every day. All right, on today's episode, we are smoking on two kinds of fine Las Vegas cannabis. Pretty different in flavor profiles here, Paul. You just took a hit of some Jilly Bean.
Yep.
That shit smells really good. It's super citrusy.
Yeah, it's got really, really solid citrus flavor.
Is that smell carrying over into the
bowl? Oh, yeah, for sure.
I haven't hit this yet. Jilly Bean is a sativa. It's across an orange velvet and one of my favorites, Space Queen. So that orange velvet's supposed to give it that nice orange flavor. We also got some GMO cookies, which is the opposite spectrum.
Never can go wrong.
GMO is garlic, mushroom, and onion cookies. It's across a Chem Dog and Girl Scout.
Yep.
So the garlic, mushroom, and onion, very, I don't know. I don't really care for the flavor profile that much, but it's really stony.
Yeah. So it's pretty big.
I don't hate it. It just tastes weird. Like this Jilly Bean, I'm going to hit this here, but typically these citrusy type of weeds, I prefer just on the flavor as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of weird because you know I like that Chem Dog, but
yep.
Whatever. I'm gonna hit this, and
while I'm puffing this down, we also got some mimosa shatter over here as well.
Oh yeah, see, I'm so high.
And then some straw nana, fucking turp diamonds too, because you know, gotta stay dabbing. You know,
we're hitting those dabs before the episode today.
Yeah, for sure.
Monster dabs for me. I haven't dabbed in a minute.
I know it kills you.
I thought I lost a lung. I still think I sound hoarse.
Well, let's jump into it.
Yeah, I'm going to hit this weed, dude. Let's get started.
UFC 249 was everything everyone wanted and more, I thought. It was a great card. A lot of really, really high-level fights. A couple stinkers in there, but nothing too bad.
Yeah, there's always going to be one or two that maybe don't live up to it. And I think in 249's case, one of the ones that wasn't too great was the Michelle Waterson-Carlos Barza fight.
Yeah, let's be honest, right?
But it was also... It came on the heels of a really good fight. So
It carried over.
You know, that can influence the opinion a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it was also just a fight where both women weren't extremely active. And before we were watching a fight with two guys who were just balls to the wall, fucking throwing everything they had into every single punch they threw. And then it getting a doctor stoppage to a much... more of a grappling style war. That was not really a war. There wasn't much punches thrown.
What was the fight before then for everybody listening?
Oh, Nico Price versus Vicente Luque.
Man, this week
that fight was ridiculous.
As I mentioned on last week's show, you know, I haven't been smoking. I've been vaporizing my weed like almost exclusively, and actually I haven't smoked anything, you know, with a combustible flame since our last episode.
Yeah,
and we're smoking this out of the bottle bong, because I broke my bong in this quarantine, man.
What?
Yeah, so if you're watching on video, I had to break out the handy bottle bong.
Damn.
With the plastic water bottle. But hey, whatever. But point being, the sweet taste really good.
Yeah.
Even, you know,
yeah,
me not having smoked in a while.
I fuck with it.
That's nice. I'm fucking with it, too.
Yeah.
Mm, here you go. You can hit that back. Let's talk about that Vicente Luque, Nico Price fight. Yeah. I thought that would get fight of the night. That was a hell of a war. You mentioned it got stopped by doctor stoppage. Yeah. Vicente Luque wins that fight via TKO in the third round. And Price really wanted to keep going, but his eye was just completely shut. Like, you could see in the post-fight when they were reading the judges' scorecards, or announcing the winner, I should say. He was jacked. I can only imagine what that looks like.
You know what I could really appreciate about Luque?
What's that?
Is his ability to take one and give one back. Because he took some big fucking shots.
He's really got a chin. Well, that can be dangerous in MMA to keep taking those shots. It's fun to watch while it lasts. And he's given no sign of it going away.
What's that? Four fights that should that are like fight of the year candidates in a row for him.
Yeah, he's super entertaining, and let's not take anything from Price. He is. As
yeah,
well.
That Nico Price is ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, there were some situations in that fight where it looked like he was gonna pull it out, but freaking Luque, he just never gives up. That's one thing about him is like he handles adversity really, really well.
That he does, and he likes to dish it out. Both of them really like to dish it out.
That's what's crazy too is he's super versatile. He's got a ground game. He just doesn't use him unless he has to. Like, you know what I mean? It's crazy. He's got super high level grappling, and like he just chooses not to use it.
Have you heard anything about what's next for Vicente?
I have not, but it would make sense for him to get back into that top. Well, he's what, 13th? Who knows what he'll be a couple days from now, but I think it would make most sense. Maybe fight someone like, I don't know. Maybe is Ponzinibbio back?
He is calling for a fight with RDA.
Maybe RDA, too. That's a good fight for him.
That would be a good fight for him right there. I'd rather see Ponzinibbio get somebody. No disrespect to RDA, but he's not been doing well when he fights in the welterweight. Top level.
Well,
guys.
Here's the thing. He's got mixed results, though, because then you see what he did to Robbie Lawler. You're like, what the fuck? Where'd that guy go? Yeah. So I don't know.
Clear this bong out here.
All right, so let's move on to some of the more main card fights. First, we could talk about, I know it's not your favorite guy in the world, but Greg Hardy had a solid decision. I mean, I thought he was losing the fight until, unfortunately, Jorgen De Castro broke his foot because he was having a lot of good results with those leg kicks to Hardy, but as soon as he broke his foot, you could see it was
that was it. It changed the whole fight. I thought he was going to win. I thought Hardy was going to lose.
Yeah.
Up until that point, I didn't hear that it was confirmed his foot was broken. I didn't pay much attention to that part of the.
But he was saying after the fight, like he kept pointing to his foot and saying,
"Oh, he stopped punching. Like, he stopped kicking.
It was game over."
Yeah, but yeah, Hardy picks up another win. He got a lot of credit for his last fight, which was a loss, but you know he hung in there tough with a pretty high level opponent, and he comes out once again and. I don't know, he's winning. It doesn't take much at heavyweight to move up, so I guess he should get a real fight now. Not a real ranked fighter, I should say.
Yeah. But who? Dun, dun,
maybe they should finally match him up with Derek Lewis. There was some heat there for that for a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know what Lewis is doing right now, but if he's still interested in that fight.
I mean, maybe.
I don't hate that, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, he picks up the win. Rather lackluster affair.
Maybe you can fight Bulgoy.
Yeah. You can fight that dude.
Yeah.
He's a warrior.
And he's kind of in that lower level of, like, the top 15.
Yeah, he's coming off a win.
I thought he lost.
I can't remember. I don't.
Oh, no, he beat, I think he beat homeboy from New Zealand.
I can never get over his giant scar from getting stabbed in the heart. It's like, how's anybody going to kick that dude's ass? He got stabbed in the heart. And here he is
That's
fighting.
That's true. Well, yeah, so let's move on to another fight on the main card. We had Calvin Kattar pick up a freaking highlight reel knockout against Jeremy Stephens.
Yeah. Landed a monster, what was it, a knee, then that hellacious elbow on the ground, right?
Yeah, no, it was an elbow on the feet.
His elbow on the feet?
And then he busted him with another one on the ground.
I don't know where I got the knee from. That one
right
sliced
in the teeth
him up.
With the fucking elbow, man. The one he hit him with the teeth with was nasty. What he knocked him down with, that was just gross.
That was nasty.
Like, oh, my God.
Jeremy Stephens, man.
Jeremy Stephens falling on some rough times, man.
For sure.
Some rough times. I think he's won one of his last four. Or he might be 0-4.
Think he gets cut?
I don't see him getting cut just because of his history with the company, but I think that it's getting to a situation where maybe Dana doesn't give him that kind of fights anymore. You know, maybe ends up kind of like one of those guys who's going to face people no longer in the top 15, you know?
Yeah, very low-level gatekeeper. Unfortunately. Oh, no, I like Jeremy, but you know.
But I like Jeremy, though, and that's where he'd be most exciting. If he was fighting guys like that, he would be getting a lot of those exciting knockouts that we're used to and what he's known for, you know? It's just, he's getting old.
Calvin's on the come up, though.
Oh, yeah.
He deserves a high-level opponent now, top 10 opponent. I don't know what Steven is ranked, but he needs someone definitely higher than that. He's got some skills, man. He can make some noise here in this division. He's exciting as hell, too.
Yeah. Plus, he's from Boston, so got that whole backstory and shit.
Right.
Well, and the UFC goes there all the time.
Depending on how this plays out with this coronavirus quarantine and lockdowns and fighters inside and outside of the USA, a lot of these guys we're seeing now...
could be turning around.
They could, yeah, they could turn around quick, especially if you're exciting and you're willing to fight. So, who knows how that's going to play out with this Fight Island nonsense. But we'll see.
Well,
but he could find himself in action again real quick, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of featherweights that already have fights lined up, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think any of them do, actually, to be honest. Like, Max doesn't. Volkanovski's hurt. There's a lot of guys up there who just don't have fights. Brian Ortega, Korean Zombie. There's a lot of guys at 45. Frankie, if he comes back up.
Well, that was pretty dope. I'd like to see him, what he can do against a top five guy.
Yeah.
How about the next fight that happened? That has a lot of title implications. There's a lot of noise outside of this event. We're talking about Francis Ngannou versus Rosenstruck. Which was all the 20
seconds. Let's just block out all the outside noise real quick, though. Can we just talk about the fact of, like, how ridiculous what Francis did on Saturday night was? Like, what he went in there and did was just absolute domination.
Yeah, Rosenstruck, if people are unaware, he was 8-0 in MMA, and it might not sound like he's pretty inexperienced, but he had something like 80 fights in kickboxing.
Yeah.
He was a kickboxing champ, as far as I know, and his record was, like,
I don't think he had less than 10 losses.
I think he was like 80-6 or something.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that, but it was something in that area.
Yeah.
So he's fought
high-level strikers before, basically what we're saying.
Yeah, he's not a newbie in the fight business at all. He's a very experienced fighter. Actually, quite more experienced than Ngannou is.
Probably, frankly. Yeah.
Ngannou's new to this whole fight game, relatively speaking. And yeah, he blitzed him and took him out in 20 seconds. Some vicious
power. The thing, though. Here's what's dangerous about Ngannou. He threw about 10 punches. He missed 9 of them.
Yeah.
He only hit him once.
Yeah, he went crazy.
With the ferocity he hit him with, it was enough to knock him down. And then the fucking couple he hit him with when he was out were just so ridiculous. I almost thought they were just unnecessary, like how hard he hits. like that hard he hits. After he took him from consciousness, for him to like then land those two shots when he was down too, like, I know they weren't like, obviously they weren't they weren't illegal shots or anything.
No, they're to that nature. Illegal, but they were just vicious.
But it was just fucking savagery. It was hard to watch.
Powerful man.
Yeah, he's a dangerous motherfucker, man.
Now this has a lot of implications because he's rightfully making some noise about title shots.
He wanted this one to be for an interim title. He wanted this to be the main event.
It's way too soon, in my opinion, for that. I mean, it hasn't even been a year. It's been like 8 months since Stipe fought. And it's not like it's not like we're not in a global pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, well, let's talk about what I find controversial here and get your thoughts on it as well. But we've got Francis calling for the title shot, right? Which he rightfully should. He's been kicking ass. But the UFC really wants to book Stipe versus Daniel Cormier #3. And Daniel Cormier wants to make that his retirement fight. He's been calling for it. The problem is that Stipe Miocic is in Cleveland. He's in Ohio. Ohio is on a lockdown. There are no gyms open.
One of the very first ones to be on lockdown.
Right, and on a pretty strict one. He says his gyms aren't opening, not even for him. He says he doesn't get special treatment, and he literally can't train. And he's also working as a first responder, as a firefighter, which most people know. So, and Stipe comes out and says, as soon as this lockdown is over, I'll start camp and I'll fight whoever you want me to fight. DC, Ngannou, whatever. But what comes in is we've got Daniel Cormier and Dana White saying that they might strip fucking Stipe Miocic of his title.
Yeah.
And then have DC fight Ngannou, not for an interim, but for the legitimate title, which I find that outrageous. I think that is effing crazy.
Yeah.
And disrespectful as hell to a guy who... I get it if he's turning down fights. If you're holding up the division, it's been 18 months, you're like, what the hell?
But one thing we haven't yet talked about, not even off the air, is where is his medical situation with his eye?
He was going through a lot of that. The last I heard, he was still seeing double vision in one eye, but it was getting better. And that was like 2 months ago. That was before all this coronavirus stuff.
Yeah. I think that's really the X factor here when you talk about the whole heavyweight division, because I would understand a strip if there's a situation where his eye is not properly healing and he doesn't want to take the risk, or a commission won't clear him because they don't want to take the risk. Because that's something you got to talk about when you talk about eye injuries. Fucking Michael Bisping talked about how he had to pretty much fake that he wasn't blind for his whole career. Crazy. Like, that's ridiculous.
You need to taste that citrus in here.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. But you know what I'm saying? That's really where things could break down there. Like, I do agree with you. If he's healthy and ready to go, there's no reason whatsoever they should take his title away.
Well, if it's going to be another 2 weeks or even another month before Ohio comes off lockdown, I mean, what do you want? The whole world is on lockdown. It's not...
Well, they want that August... Like they want that August date, and Stipe's looking more of like a November. And that's just what it is. Like, unfortunately, that's just what it is right now. Like, it sounds like Stipe wants to come back in November, probably Madison Square Garden, is what it seems like. Because if he doesn't want to do August, he said he would be able to do a camp in August. So if he does camp, so...
He likes to do an 8
September,
to
12
week
October. I just don't see him fighting in October because there's no, like, landmark card in October. But if, like... If he wanted to really make a bang in this third fight and make the money that him and DC probably deserve for the trilogy fight, I think his best chance would be maybe headline Madison Square Garden.
He could still come back in August, though. I mean, he could come to an agreement with the UFC just because he wants to wait till November if they're talking about stripping him. Because if Ohio's opened up by June, or at the end of we're in May right now. If they're open and good to go in June, that gives him June, July, and August to hold a camp.
But the X factor here also is his duties as a fireman.
Well, he'll put that on hold. If Ohio's open that much for the virus, yeah, he always has. I mean,
I don't know. It's tough. It's a weird situation we're all in. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's like really nobody's fault. But it's putting a wrench in all this for sure. In everyone's division, honestly. We had fights last Saturday for titles that shouldn't have never happened. Two of them, you know? And here's the thing at heavyweight. Francis Ngannou deserves a title shot. No one can deny that. His last four fights, he has not gotten hit once, and he's gotten out of there inside 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Even with the five rounds he spent losing to Stipe,
well, just his last
he
two
still
fights.
Has the shortest fight time of any heavyweight.
Oh, yeah, for sure. In his last two fights, though, he hasn't gotten hit once in the face at all. Two fights. In his last four fights, he spent 90 seconds in the octagon, bro. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Did you see what JDS posted?
No.
He was like, this fucking guy has no skill. He could just put you out with any punch, though. It's like, what are you trying to say?
Like, JDS is looking bizarre with his weight loss and that mustache.
Yeah,
strange looks like
looking guy.
Weird version of Jose Aldo. I look at him and it's like you're Jose's weird oversized twin brother now.
It's like a Lenny and fucking... It's like a Mice of Men. Fucking...
Yeah, dude.
But
vaporizer, if you want to hit that, it's still going.
Yeah, so heavyweight... Here's the problem, though. Francis Ngannou comes out yesterday on Errol Hawani's show and says he's frustrated with the division. Said either they need to move on or give him some kind of clarity on when the title's going to be defended and when he'll get his shot. And if they don't do so, he'll be more than willing to take two fights in the meantime, fight out his contract, and fight elsewhere.
You know what the answer to that, I think, should be? In all honesty, and this isn't because I'm biased against DC, because I don't particularly like him. I think they should just put a pin in DC Stipe and go ahead and just go ahead and just book Ngannou versus Stipe too.
Yeah.
I mean, who deserves the rematch better? The guy that just got knocked out by Stipe or the guy that lost to Stipe and had four KOs since then?
Yeah. Here's I'm just going to play devil's advocate real quick for you. The only thing is, when you talk about DC and Stipe, is DC knocked him out in the first round, the first fight, and then the second fight, he was very much winning every moment of that fight until the minute when Stipe just started punching him in the gut and just automatically, out of nowhere, completely turned the tide and won the fight. We cannot deny that. It was complete domination by DC until, out of nowhere, I don't know what, like, it looked like Stipe was asleep for the first three rounds of the fight.
It was in the end of the third round, he started punching him.
Yeah, it was like he was asleep the first two rounds, and out of nowhere, it was weird. Like, it was weird. It was like Stipe all, out of nowhere, woke up and learned how to fight again. So, like, there is a little bit of, there's the want for the trilogy there, but I do agree with Ngannou's sentiment that he deserves a fucking title. He deserves a title shot. It's an unfortunate situation.
I mean, I bet Stipe would like to fight somebody that's not going to eye poke the ever living crap out of him, where he has to go have surgery after two fights of getting the shit poked out of his eyes.
Good point.
I mean, for every plus there is for DC in the Stipe fights, there's also, like, in the first fight, he also blinded Stipe with an eye poke before knocking him out on a punch from the same side. And then the second fight, he also did some egregious eye pokes.
Also, you have to ask yourself, if you're the UFC, what's more important to you? That trilogy fight, or the tons and tons of money you've invested into building Francis Ngannou into the star he's become in the UFC? Everybody watches Francis.
DC's gonna bounce even if he
wins. Yeah, and DC win or lose, it's kind of like the GSP Khabib situation, where like they refused to make that title fight because they knew if GSP were to go win, he was just gonna walk off.
Yeah.
So here's the thing: is like, if you're the UFC, yeah, you kind of owe Daniel Cormier the third fight because, you know, of what happened and all he's done for the company, and he's done this and that.
I mean, didn't they pay him back with that, with the job commentating and shit, though?
True,
I mean,
but you know what I'm saying?
$1 million to fight Derek Lewis.
The want for that third fight is definitely there. It's undeniable. It's undeniable. The second fight was competitive enough, and out of nowhere, Stipe turned the tides. And I believe a third fight is definitely should be given to DC. But at the same time, I wouldn't mind if they did Ngannou before and then DC. But here's the thing: now DC's out here talking shit about Francis. He jumped on with Ariel right after Francis did, talking about Francis is just an overblown Anthony Johnson.
Yeah.
Saying that he'll just do the same thing he did to Anthony Johnson, that he'll just put him at bay on the feet. And then take him down and do what he got. And he's like, sure, I'll fight him. He's like, basically what he said was he's got one fight left, whether it be Francis or Stipe. The thing is, he said he thinks he'll make a lot more money against Stipe because he's going to go out and fight how people want him to fight, on his feet and, you know, with a little bit of wrestling in there. Whereas if he had to fight Francis, he would have to completely put his striking nullified, and he would have to take him down and control him from top the entire fight, and people wouldn't like to watch it because he's just going to dominate him in a wrestling match, basically.
You mean like Stipe did? Stipe also traded with him, but I mean Stipe beat Ngannou mainly through his wrestling.
And for some reason, nobody really ever gave Stipe the credit he deserved after that. No. And that's what DC will have to do if he were to fight Francis. So, I don't know. It's a weird little triangle you have there.
Wouldn't it be crazy if Ngannou just came out and KO'd fucking DC?
It wouldn't be, though. It wouldn't be. Because fucking Francis is twice his size height-wise and has twice the reach, and fucking DC was going to have to literally go in there, hold his fingers out, and then shoot a double. That's how he's going to have to take Francis down.
Have to give him the eye poke to the double leg.
Yeah, he's going to have to. Like, there's no other chance. And it's not even talking shit. Like it is what it is. Like, he's going to have to poke Francis in the eyes to take him down. Because, like, he's got stupid size on him. Like, people think Stipe is way too big for DC. Fucking Francis is humongous.
Yeah, Stipe is
Francis
not, like,
cuts to
muscular.
265, dude. Yeah. Get out of here. Like, that's what he was talking about, too, saying that with all these cards being canceled and shit, that a lot of these guys and I agree with this. He thinks a lot of the guys on the card experience fatigue through their fights because of multiple weight cuts.
Yeah,
he said he experienced it just from warming up.
Look at Tony.
Yeah.
People are pointing to that. For some reason, he kept the weight cut for the Khabib fight. And then, what, like 2 weeks later?
I'm not going to lie. I defended it.
I was ambivalent about it. I mean, whatever. That dude knows his body pretty fucking well. But
yeah,
that did happen.
Well, before we get into the main event, let's get into the co-main event here. Henry Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz. It is what it was.
Oh, an egregious referee mistake, in my opinion.
I wouldn't say egregious, but I wouldn't say it was the greatest call either. I'm pretty down the middle with it.
I'm not, but you know. Hey,
well, I'll give you the argument then. Just to rile you up a bit.
Well, let's sum it up for folks who may not have heard. Henry Cejudo won via second round TKO.
Yep.
Dominic Cruz was not fighting well.
Yeah, Dominic Cruz did not look like himself. He started
looking a little bit better in the second round, but he still didn't look good.
Yeah, he was.
I texted you.
It was still spotty. It was still spotty. Like he looked better in the second round, but it was still just like Henry was still getting the better of all the exchanges.
And then he landed a big knee,
knocked fucking Dominic on his ass. Here's the thing, man. Because it's a title fight. I get what you're saying.
Well, Dominic was getting up, and then the referee waved it off.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, he took 7 or 8 punches. Well, Henry Cejudo punches extremely fast. We're talking about like a 3-second time of him, you know, putting his legs up and standing up. He got nailed like 9 times. Does that mean we stopped the fight?
Here's the thing. Here's my thing here. There's plenty of fights I've seen where that knee hits, and when Dominic was sitting there on his ass with his fucking face looking all weird, ended up as a meme for the rest of the night, where there's been plenty of fights I've seen where that gets stopped there. This is a title fight, which is why I'm entertaining your point of the him trying to get up and defend himself is 100% accurate, and I agree with you. He was trying to get up, and he was trying to come back from it. But there's been fights I've seen where that knee is where it ends.
I think it would have been less controversial if he would have waved it off at the knee. But because he chose to let it go, Dominic starts to recover, and then he actually gets against the cage and starts getting up.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to let it go at that point, let it go. Yeah. I just...
Here's my thing. I don't
know if that means Dominic would have won. I'm not making that argument because he looked terrible.
Yeah.
For a title fight for me, that was...
That was rough.
That was rough.
Well, here's the thing: is like Dominic, what the fuck was your game plan though? Like, what was he doing with the like trying to jump over the leg kicks?
Yeah, he looked like a guy that was that the hadn't worst fought in 4 years.
Yeah, like honestly, like he was trying to jump over leg kicks. Like, and the funny thing was Henry picked that up really quick and said, "Okay, then I'm going to kick through your legs." And so when he kicked him, he'd jump up one leg and he'd kick him in the other leg. So then he had two compromised legs going into the second round. This is why I don't understand. Is like, yes, I agree with you. The stoppage was what it was. But we cannot sit here and pretend like it was a super competitive fight either. It was very much Henry Cejudo picking apart Dominic Cruz when everybody thought it was going to be the opposite because of Cruz's movement. But his movement just wasn't what it used to be.
He definitely didn't it was get just into bouncing. His rhythm. Now, who knows if he would have ever or not.
Yeah.
I mean... He can talk about ring rust not existing, or we can say maybe it did. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe that's he's.
He looked rusty round one. I'll tell you that.
Rusty. He didn't look good. But Cejudo was definitely winning the fight up to that.
Yeah,
that's, I'm not going to deny that at all. I just think the stoppage itself was. Nah.
And then honestly, here's what started all that. Let's not even go there. The whole reason that happened is because fucking Henry got pissed because he got elbow or fucking headbutted. And fucking busted. It was his fault. I'll give him that. He leaned in with his hand when he tried to throw an overhand.
Yeah.
But the whole reason he did all that shit is because he got super mad, hit Cruz with two big hooks, and then Cruz tried to duck and take him down, and he hit him with a big knee. So, like, there was a couple more shots that landed that rocked Cruz, and then that knee fucking put him on his ass, dude. That knee was nasty.
That was
Cruz's fucking meme. Face, man. That was a meme for a minute, dude. It still is. Like his fucking his shit was like it looked like the emoji with like the sick emoji, you know what I mean? He's like,
now Cruz has come out with some pretty
he's pissed.
Pretty I mean, I would say, pretty hefty accusations and against pretty Keith damaging Peterson, accusations. Saying that she smelled like alcohol and cigarettes during the match.
Cigarettes thing is and not that big of a deal. Cigarettes
whatever, but the alcohol. And he said that during the pre-fight that he was mumbling and slurring his words and that he wouldn't look at him. And he had to be like, hey, dude, look at me, when he's trying to give him the fight instructions. And something about him being red-eyed. Now, that could be what it could be. Who knows? But those are some charges that if it was just some schmuck, I'd be like, I don't know. But Dominic Cruz is a pretty large figure in MMA. I mean, he's an analyst. But we all see all the, like, he doesn't just seem like a guy that I'm just going to make up bullshit.
Here's the thing, though. Can we also, we can also very well point to all the points of Dominic Cruz being a very sore loser at the same time.
Dominic Cruz is a terrible loser.
He's a very, very, very sore loser.
But then what really good athlete isn't?
Yeah, but Dominic Cruz is a little bit extra on the sore losing part.
That'd be like a hell of a thing to make up about somebody. But
I don't think he necessarily made it up, but I think he could have stretched a little bit of the truth. You know what possible. I mean?
I mean,
you
know what I'm saying? I didn't smell Keith Peterson.
Maybe he smelled like cigarettes, but then he equated to you smell like cigarettes and beer or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe he just smelled like cigarettes and Dominic didn't like that and was like, what are you partying? Who smoked cigarettes before they ref? Or, you know what I mean? So maybe he's thinking, you know, he just maybe stretched it. I don't think, dude, it's just ridiculous to think that a commission who is sitting front there, these are fucking things that are handled by commissions, man. Like,
he's in front of his bosses. 6 foot social distancing, sure. Where maybe he thinks he doesn't, his breath ain't going to be on people.
Sure, but
you know what I mean? Maybe he didn't want to be at this stupid. I don't know. There's a lot of things you could say.
Yeah.
Because these guys don't. It's tough. It's not like they get paid fat. Like, this is a side gig. Whatever Keith Peterson does in his real life, it ain't reffing is not paying his bills.
Yeah.
Especially reffing in the middle of the damn coronavirus lockdown. Maybe he didn't even want to be there.
Yeah.
Or maybe Dominic Cruz is just a sore ass loser and is talking shit. But it highlights this greater trend of why are we hearing this?
His teammate jumped on and said the same thing and said his stoppage was terrible and Keith Peterson smelled like alcohol too, but that was Jeremy Stevens who got fucking mollywalked. Jeremy Stevens
said he had to once carry Keith Peterson from the hotel or from the bar to the hotel, he was so drunk. Again, this is all hearsay though, but that's what was reported.
It's tough.
I know Peterson did a shit job in the Cowboy Cerrone Anthony Pettis fight too, because there was a terrible eye poke right on Cerrone, which led to his downfall in that fight as well. Like, that turned into a big moment for Pettis. Like,
that's a tough situation because there was also a situation earlier in the fight where Cerrone swore it was an eye poke and he got straight socked in the eye. So it's a tough situation there because, like, literally if you watch in the first round there was a very, very similar situation where they were on the break and Pettis hit him with, like, his front knuckle, just straight in the eye. And Cerrone was backing off saying, my eye. And he did break it up and it wasn't an eye poke. So who knows if something was said to him in between rounds by the commission or not. But you know what I'm saying? This is why this is all hearsay, man. This is all tough. It's all tough.
Well, that second eye poke definitely happened.
Oh, yeah, second eye poke for sure happened.
It was a bad one.
But the whole thing of him being drunk is tough. It's tough.
We don't know. Because
I don't want to ruin some man's fucking entire legacy or possibility of making money. Like, sure, it's a side gig, but still, it's like, fuck, man.
Yeah. That's going to be a hell of a thing to make up on Dom's part.
It would, but you know what I'm saying? I just like to give the benefit of the doubt.
I just think it highlights the bigger problem of there's always some BS with the reffing and or the judges.
Yeah.
Like, God. And it's not like, at what point is somebody going to address it so we can make some kind of effort towards some change? The UFC has the power to do things outside of the country in future events where they could experiment with different scoring, with different judging formats, all kinds of stuff when they do their own events and there's no commission. But they don't fucking, they're not interested in that now that the Endeavor has taken over. Like, the Fertittas might have done that. These other people, they don't care, and Dana don't care.
Here's the thing, though. As much as the UFC swears they're ahead of the curve on all things when it comes to mixed martial arts, I think they're actually they steal a lot of shit and just make it popular because they're the most popular production. They're the most popular company in mixed martial arts. So I think what's going to end up happening is something like the Invicta card where they did that, and other cards like that where they're going to experiment with the rules. The UFC will look at that, say they never saw anything, and just implement it in their own sport and swear and to make it their own. That's just a UFC move, bro. It's just what it is. It is what it is. Because there's definitely some there needs to be some turnover for sure, but I just have a hard time with possibly saying some dude was drunk. If he was or not, like, I feel like that's up to the commission to be able to detect if their employees are drunk. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately,
you would hope so.
I would hope some kind of situation like that, they'd be able to tell if an employee was drunk.
Like, but, well, either way, let's move on to the other big thing that happened after that fight, right? Is your boy was like, I'm out. Cejudo was like, I'm done.
Yeah, so.
And then backs Cejudo it up retires. In the post-fight press conference. He
post-fight press conference, on. Completely retires, says he's apologizes pretty much for the cringe. He says, I'm a cringy guy, but that's not me. Everything I did before was to sell fights. And then went and laid out a four-man tournament for his own belt, which would make no sense if he was using that as a lot of people are saying this is a leverage tactic by him, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Because they're talking about
he's covering his tracks.
Even Dana came out and said it was going to be Peter Yan and somebody for the belt.
Dude, he was talking next week.
Yeah, they're not.
He said he wants to go along next week.
They're moving on.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And good for Henry though, because he's retiring literally on top. He did everything he wanted to do. And 100 years from now, but let's just say 10, 15 years from now, no one's going to look at this and say, Henry Cejudo came in. Like, there's some questionable stoppages and some weird fights in his legacy. It's undeniable. Yeah, but 10 years from now, people will look back at this and say, Henry Cejudo should be one of the best fighters of all time because he beat this person, this person, this person, this person. And they're not going to have the context of what happened in those fights because those really don't matter. Like, you know, like, that's one thing is, like, Henry Cejudo kind of forced his way into MMA history, whether people like it or not.
I can't disagree. I mean, you're right. You could nitpick. I mean, I'm not a fan of his. I personally could sit here and point to all of his title fight wins and point out some BS.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. He got the wins. He's a great fighter. That's undeniable.
Yeah.
He walked out with the W's on all of them.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to retire on top.
Yep.
I can't hate on that. And I like it because
I could also see maybe sometime later on, 2 or 3 years down the road, where he comes back for some kind of fight. But I don't think anything. I just feel like he's at a point where he feels like he's legacy-wise one of the best fighters ever. So he holds. I think he only is going to fight people who have some kind of legacy behind them now. Because I feel like he thinks that when he beats people who have a legacy, he then absorbs their legacy. Which, whether true or not, whether you agree or disagree, in his head, that's how he feels. And that's why he handpicks the fights that he's picked. Like, people can hate and say that Dominic Cruz was off for however many years and, you know, say all that shit. But he did that. He only fought Dominic and he only wanted to fight Jose Aldo because he wanted to then absorb the idea that everybody who's ever beaten by either of those guys, he is now better than.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know what I'm saying?
I like it because I don't have to hear the cringe anymore. So
that's his, in his mind, that's how he feels. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, let's move on to the main event.
Justin Gaethje.
Unfortunately.
Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson got his ass kicked. Feel bad for Tony, man. I mean, there's just no denying it. He got beat down pretty bad for 5 rounds.
One thing that I think is not being spoke about enough, though, in the wake of this fight, is if Tony were to just win one more fight, he's right back in the picture.
Definitely. If he comes back from that, he's, what, 36?
But here's the thing.
That was,
if he can fight by the start of next year and he gets 2 fights in next year, he could fight for the belt the end of next year.
He could fight the loser of whoever Justin fights next.
Or he could fight Dustin Poirier.
Or
I think Tony Ferguson, Dustin Poirier is the next fight to make. You got both coming off losses pretty much for the belt. They haven't fought each other. They're probably, second and fourth in the division? something like that.
Yeah, I like that. That'd be good.
Well, I just don't know if Poirier is going to wait that long.
He's Tony itching. Only got a 60-day suspension.
Really?
Yeah.
He broke his orbital.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
60 days is all. That came out today.
He's a psycho, dude. He might fight before the year ends then. If you only got a 60-day, bro, he might fucking fight in November or October or some shit.
You think Khabib Justin happens or Khabib Connor happens? They're angling for either one of those fights.
Here's what I think happens. I think Conor McGregor is going to fight Jorge Masvidal at 155 pounds in July. And then I think Justin Gaethje and Khabib are going to fight in October. And then I think in December of next year, Conor is either going to fight Khabib or Justin Gaethje for the belt. That would be my guess. Because I think an exhibition at 155 with Jorge and Conor doesn't hurt either's shine if they lose.
Right.
Conor loses, you lost to a 175-pound guy who came down. If Jorge loses, you're fighting at 155 when you're at 170. Doesn't really hurt either guy's legacy.
Yeah, I like that too. That'd be a dope fight as well.
Just makes sense.
It'd be very interesting.
Just makes sense because... But then again, here's one thing that's always kind of plagued Conor's career, is he's veer off into these mega fights. Every time he veers off into this mega fight, into a mega fight, it kind of fucks with his legacy. Because, like, win, lose, or draw, it kind of messes up his title path. Like, the whole thing with Nate, he should have been double champ way before him and Nate fought twice.
Yeah.
He could have been double champ way before anybody else was. Because remember, like, when he won it is when, like, the UFC started giving him to a lot of other people. If he would have won that fucking a year before, because, what, the two fights with Nate took a whole year. So if he would have been double champ a year before, who knows where he would have gone in his career. Right. So I don't know. But that's always what the rumor is it's going to be Nate or Conor and Jorge, and then it's going to be fucking Khabib and Gaethje.
Now, you've always liked Gaethje to beat Khabib.
I've always liked it for a long time. I think it's there. I think Gaethje has just enough high-level wrestling defense to just keep it on the feet at all times. I feel like Khabib is fucked if he thinks he's going to go in there and dominate Gaethje by taking him down and mauling him. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Dude, and I'll admit it when it happens.
That'd be so awesome.
But I'm telling you right now that Justin Gaethje is a legit high-level wrestler, and it just will not happen. He may get taken down, but he will not get mauled like everybody else did.
Well, man, that'd be dope if that happened. Seriously, I would really like that if Gaethje beats Khabib for the title.
Can we talk about it for a second how well freaking Jason Perillo has put together Justin Gaethje's freaking offense and striking, man? Like,
yeah, he's looked a lot better.
It's ridiculous, man. And his defense, man, his defense is stupid better. He doesn't get hit anymore. And when he does, he kind of moves with it and doesn't take as much of the shot. Before, he just stood there like fucking Frankenstein.
Yeah, he would just wade into blows.
Yeah.
Reckless abandon.
Yeah.
And he stopped that now.
Now he's moving his feet.
Yeah.
Using his jab more.
He's a real deal. He's a real threat.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what happens here with him and Khabib. I would like that to be the path, what you just said. So I'm... The Conor versus Jorge Masvidal, Justin versus Khabib.
And then everybody the meets back up.
Yep. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I like that.
And then if you want to fight with Usman, give him Leon Edwards.
Well, it does seem like something is in the works for Masvidal because the 170 title fight is off. It's officially off as per the UFC, as far as my understanding. And he ain't fighting Usman right now.
Yeah. Well, they fucking each of them bind themselves out. Each right. Like on both sides. Pricing himself out. Which is understandable with a big fight like that. But that's what kind of happens with these bigger fights nowadays in the UFC. Before, I feel like the UFC was able to put on such big events because when they were lower level, no one could sit there and be like, dude, I'm about to sell fucking 3 million pay-per-views. You better fucking pay me. You know what I mean?
Right. And it's a byproduct of the UFC paying like shit anyways. There's no collective bargaining agreement. There's no revenue share. Nope. So these guys, when they finally have the chance to get paid, can you blame them
no,
for holding out and being like, no, I'm going to get max money. I don't care if I sit. I don't blame you. I mean, it sucks as a fan. We'd all like to see these fights fucking happen sooner. Do what you gotta do.
Do what you gotta do, man. Fuck. Get your money, dog.
Just a guy like Masvidal. He's been in the game so long.
So long. He only has so much time left.
Yeah. He needs a big,
like, Conor could probably realistically fight for, like, another 5 years. Masvidal, there's no way he's fighting 5 years from now.
No. He's got way more fight years on him than a guy like McGregor does, or especially a guy like Usman.
Conor's only, what, 30? Yeah. 30-something? Maybe 32 at the oldest. Masvidal's got to be like 36.
Conor wasn't doing no backyard fights in Miami.
Yeah, no.
You know.
No. Yeah. Masvidal's got a shit ton of fights on his career.
Absolutely.
On his record.
And on his record, yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of fights probably off the record.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Well, that wraps up 249. Let's take a quick look ahead. We've got fights happening Wednesday of this week. By the time this is airing, of course, these will all be over because we've got fights Wednesday. And we've got fights on Saturday, so we're recording the show on Tuesday, so we can get both these events in front. So we've got another event on the 23rd, actually, after that, too, so the following Saturday. So a lot of fights here. But let's briefly touch on some of these big fights to look at. We're going to pick three fights, I think, from the main cards of these two fight nights that we're kind of excited about. So let's start with the first one, the Wednesday night, because they're both Fight Night Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Let's go Fight Night Jacksonville. Wednesday.
Yeah, which is, the Wednesday edition.
Which is headlined by a 205-pound fight between Anthony Lionheart Smith versus Glover Teixeira.
Yep.
Title implications for Smith, I would say, in this fight.
Dude, Glover's fucking won 3 fights in a row.
Has he really?
Yeah.
I sleep on Glover, man. I keep thinking he's washed up, and I tend to not pay attention. He's won 3 in a row.
I guess. That's what they were saying in the promo.
Well, there's a fight with Tyler.
Glover gets the rematch with John and beats him. That'd be hilarious. God,
that'd be nuts.
That'd be ridiculous. Nah, that would never happen. But honestly, Anthony Smith, this is going to be a big fight for him because he believes, and a lot of people believe, that he's in the upper echelon of the division. And if he's going to continue to be a part of that top three, like, everyone kind of thinks it's pretty much him, Dominic, and John. And kind of Tiago, but he's still injured and shit like that. So the thing is, if Anthony's going to go out there and claim that he's one of the best three in the division, he's going to have to go put Glover away. Like, he's not what he used to be. Because guys of lesser value in the division have done so.
Yeah, lower rank guys have done to share. He needs to come out and make a statement.
He needs to come out and really put on a show.
Yeah.
Because his fight against
Home Invader?
Gustafson. That was actually a pretty tough one. So, like, it showed, like, he's up there. You know what I mean? And this is a chance to solidify his place and maybe get another title shot.
I like Lionheart Smith. We both met the guy. He's super cool. He's got a lot of skill. He's another guy that, like Masvidal, he's been in the game a while. Got a big record. And I hope that he goes out and manhandles Teixeira.
Yeah.
As much as I like Teixeira, Teixeira is like an OG because he was one of these guys, you know, if people listen, if you don't know his backstory, like, he was a guy, if you're a hardcore MMA fan, you heard about him for years because he was Chuck Liddell's main training partner, but he had this weird visa problem where he couldn't get into the USA decade.
Yeah.
Like, so you always heard about this guy. And
honestly, a lot of people say that he fought his best years overseas.
Yeah. And that's why.
Yeah.
But so he was this, like, mythical figure that Liddell used to talk about.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's long in the tooth.
Well, and let's be honest here, too. He's lived up to a lot of that IP. At one point, he was the murderer in the division, and John Jones picked him off.
Yeah, he packs a punch.
Yeah, for sure. He
ran into John Jones, and that ended that.
Yeah.
But
everyone runs into John Jones eventually.
He just shares a live dog in any of his fights because he packs crazy power.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. You want to hear a crazy side note. Chael Sonnen was talking on his podcast the other day saying that Anthony Lionheart Smith is the one person he can never find someone to do a jiu-jitsu match with. Everyone declines. Every time he's asked anyone to face Lionheart Smith in a jiu-jitsu match. So don't be surprised if he's adequate if it goes to the ground.
That would be an interesting matchup.
He's got a couple of submissions. He subbed fucking Gus. He subbed Volkov. Or not Volkov. What the fuck is his name? Volkan Ozdemir?
Yeah, Ozdemir.
So,
well, that's a good fight.
Glover's got good fucking submissions too, though.
I'm picking Smith. Who you got?
I got Smith.
Yeah.
talk about a nice little journey up to heavyweight for another guy who was a former light heavyweight in Ovince St. Preux, moving up to heavyweight to fight Ben Rothwell. Ben Rothwell.
That's an interesting matchup.
Yeah.
Because Ben Rothwell is a very big heavyweight man.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a fucking big Viking. Dude. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's not, again, he's not one of these heavyweights that are real buff, like looking like, you know, muscular, whereas OSP is known for his physique.
But coming from OSP's background, I would believe OSP did it the right way just because he comes from that football background and he's had to most likely put on weight before. So I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out with a lot of the same athleticism and power that he had at light heavyweight, just at heavyweight.
I wouldn't be surprised either because of that football background. He's an elite-level athlete, used to moving around big bodies. And he put on
D1
football 35 player. Or 38 pounds.
And he still looks pretty jacked.
Yeah. So this is a very interesting fight.
Very, very. Who you got?
I'm gonna say OSP.
Yeah, I'm gonna take OSP
here at heavyweight.
It's smart for him too because he's not super old, but he's not young either.
Yeah.
And heavyweight's one of those divisions where a signature win can get you right into the conversation.
Yeah, you don't got to put much of a streak together.
Yeah.
And Rothwell's a legit win.
Well, for and him. He's got that old man legacy, you know, like everyone's like, holy shit, Ben Rothwell still fights. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, he was out 2 years for a drug suspension, so that extended his career a bit because he didn't fight.
Didn't take any damage, so he healed up. He didn't
take that damage though, so
get to heal up, here's the thing with like layoffs like that. There's two ways you can handle it. You can either wallow in pity and freaking sit there and go, oh, look at me, I suck now, I have no way to make money to do this, to do that. Or you can take those 2 years, heal up for a year, and the second year, reinvigorate yourself in the gym and freaking go after, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just, there's some way that some of these guys handle, like, Werdum handled it awful. Mm-hmm. Like, he looked terrible the other night. But, like, it seems like Ben Rothwell did the right thing while he was on his suspension, because he's come out and he's put together a couple good performances.
Yeah, he's looked pretty decent.
Yeah,
it's been an interesting fight, but yeah, I think OSP is gonna.
Yeah, I got OSP.
He's gonna get that shit. What's your third fight on here for this card, on this main?
Well, let's just talk about. Let's just go right down the line.
I like that. We got
Alex Hernandez versus Drew Doberman. That's
a fight, right?
That's a fucking scrap and a half. Both guys, Drew Dober's been in the game a while, but Alex Hernandez is a young dog who's had some ups and downs, who this would be a fucking good win for. Like, Drew Dober doesn't have a super high rank or anything, but he has...
Yeah, but he's a scrapper.
He's got a history of fucking game-ass...
Yeah, he's a live dog, performances. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that fight. I like Hernandez. They would probably pick up the victory, but
Up Dober. We'll pick Dober.
All right.
Yeah.
Hernandez is seemed to be really itching ever since he lost to Cowboy.
Well, he fought since then. But
yeah, but that just seems to have really
didn't do much for him.
Really driven him to kick some ass.
Oh yeah, like, well, you gotta think he had an opportunity. He was on the brightest stage of them all to fucking put, and he flopped it.
Yeah,
Cowboy fucked him up, and then you see what's going on with Cowboy now. It's like, how good's Alex Hernandez then? This is his chance, you know.
So this is his chance. We'll find out.
All right, well, let's head on down to Saturday's card and talk about a couple of those ones down there.
Well, this was headlined by heavyweights again. We got a lot of heavyweight action here.
Yeah, a lot of heavyweight action. So we got Alistair Overeem taking on Walt Harris. Good to see Walt Harris back.
Let's just say Walt Harris had some personal issues going on. It's like death in his
unfortunately.
Family.
Unfortunately.
And it's good to see him back from that.
Yeah. I think he's got a good chance to win this fight, too. Alistair doesn't look very good lately.
Alistair looks good until he doesn't, right?
Yeah.
Like, he looked all right against Rosenstruck. Not great, but he was all right. But then, blam, he's out with the Joker lip.
I want to say he's lost 3 of his last 5.
Yeah, he was looking good against Stipe until he got knocked out.
He's looking good against Ngannou. Oh, wait, never mind.
I mean, he's just...
Well, here's the thing, too. And he also took the L from your boy Curtis Blades, too. He's ran on some tough times lately, man.
That he has, man. No doubt.
Tough fucking times. Well, here's the thing. I think Walt Harris is going to be fighting a little bit of... he's going to be a little motivated going into this one. And I think there's a chance he runs over him over.
Do you think... Let's talk about it. There's a tiny bit of controversy, and I know you and I feel exactly the same. But I do want... I just want to touch on it. I'm curious. Like, he lost his stepdaughter.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter, whatever. I don't know if we need to make that clarification. I only make that clarification because that's what the media did. Yeah. I mean, I've had stepdaughters, too, when I was married, and they were just my daughters. I didn't be like, this is my stepdaughter. Whatever.
Yeah.
She was... you know, she gets
Unfortunately,
murdered.
Unfortunately, yeah, she was murdered. She
disappears. He has to have a fight canceled, and then they find her. This terrible thing happens. But now the UFC is, like, putting that in their promos. Yeah,
one E60 is running a special on it tonight, on Tuesday night, for the right before the fight. Like,
I'm just like, do you think they asked him? Like, do you
think I'd imagine they did. Because he's obviously a part of the E60.
Right. I just...
But I get what you're saying. It's tough, man. It's like, it almost seems like they're using it to promote his fight sometimes.
Yeah, there's one thing about telling a story, and then there's another thing about
running a full feature on
promotion.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, it's tough. It's tough because then if you call them on it too, you almost seem like an asshole because they're like, "We're not doing that. We're just trying to get her story out." But at the same time, it's like, it's still so fresh.
Yeah, and it's not like they just mentioned it. Like, you don't have to go into
it. It's his first fight back, and it's just like this, the narrative of his daughter dying is still going to carry over, and, like, it could cause him to be maybe emotional on fight night, and that's just something you don't want to see as a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they're not, like, running that. You know how we've been to events before. They run TV. They run the promos that we see on TV.
Well, like, same thing.
In the stadium.
Like the same thing when Conor and Cowboy fought and they ran the I get scared as fuck before every fight, right before the fight starts.
Right. What is that?
What is that shit?
I don't know. That's just, to me, I kind of wish they weren't doing that.
Yeah, me too, but it is what it is.
They are.
It seems like he's okay with it if he's participating, so that's the only reason I really, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Let's just hope the UFC didn't pull.
Let's just hope it's in good taste, you know.
Let's hope so.
Yeah,
but I like him to win here, and I don't know. I'm that's mainly just me hoping. The guy needs a win.
Yeah, he needs something. Some kind of win here.
I'm not gonna pick against him, no matter what. Frankly, yeah. So.
I ain't picking. I ain't picking over him either.
No.
So
I'm over Reem. I'll fire up this vaporizer for this last bit here.
Let's move on down the card a little bit here. Another big fight with some solid divisional implications. We got Claudia Gadelha taking on Angela Hill.
Women's 115 pounds. Yeah, yep. Women's bantams. Or strawweights. Women's strawweights.
But here's the thing is Angela Hill's on a little bit of a tear here. I think she's won three in a row in like the last 9 months.
Stepping up on short notice left and right.
Yeah. Doesn't give a single fuck.
She's tough, too.
Yeah.
She was on that season of The Ultimate Fighter.
She's gotten way better since then, though.
And she's grown so much as a fighter. She went back down to Invicta for a while, racked up some wins there, came back to the UFC. Because I think she was in the UFC, then got cut, and then she's back. And then she's been on pulling these short-notice fights left and right. If she gets a win here, then...
Did you ever get a chance to listen to her on Joe Rogan?
I listened to clips of the show, but I didn't listen to the whole episode. No.
So she's got a good story. Like she'd never really planned on even fighting. She just was going to a normal like gym, just using as exercise, and fell in love with like fighting. She's only been fighting for like 4 years.
Really?
Yeah, she hasn't been fighting for very long. Well, like 4 or 5 years max.
That's impressive. Like that's a lot of skill.
She went into the Ultimate Fighter house with only like a year of experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been mostly a few years in Muay Thai. Interesting. Well, that explains a lot of her evolution as well. She's been putting in work.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good she's had the career trajectory that she's had then because she needs that kind of experience to really blossom as a fighter. So she can come out here. She can get a win. I mean, Gedalia's been kind of on the opposite. She's been kind of on a downswing. Yeah,
she's been having. She's fallen on a little bit of tough times ever since she lost that second fight to Joanna.
Yeah.
Said and ups and downs and ups and downs. Times where she looked like she's right in the title hunt, then times where you look like it's just like her physique and her skill set and what we've seen her do in the past, it just seems like sometimes she like overthinks almost. You know what I mean? Like she gets almost beaten by lesser fighters sometimes. It's strange.
When I was in Colorado, we called that pulling the Denver Broncos.
Oh, fuck you, dude.
Dude, that's my team. You know that.
But fuck there's you, no dude.
Denying Denver has a history of doing that. It's a terrible thing when you see people play down to the competition.
Cut this show. I'm fucking done here.
But no, I get what you're saying. Like, yeah. She does have a history of doing that.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking to see if you're a fan.
Or she fights to the level of her competition.
It's like, is anything worse being a Broncos fan watching them when that happens?
Yeah,
it's the worst thing ever.
Doesn't happen anymore. Shut up. That was in like the fucking 90s.
Hey, you see my wall of Bronco glory. Fucking
30 years ago, you motherfucker.
Facts is facts. That's still my team and my boys.
But yeah, so I'd like to see Angela Hill pick this up too.
Yeah, I like Angela Hill to win here too.
I'd like it. I'd like it.
I think like she'd come out and say something funny afterwards too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Make a good call out. Mm-hmm. Get some noise.
And then just heading on down the card here, we got Edson Barboza going in here again at 145 for his second time, taking on Dan Ige. I think this is a tough fight for Dan, just because he's just not on the level Edson is on his feet. And I'm curious to see how well Edson can handle if Dan takes it to the ground.
It would be an interesting fight. I don't like Edson at 45, but now whatever. Think
he's sucking too much?
I mean, he's doing it. Maybe he'll be better in this second weight cut down.
Yeah. I mean, he's still a legend, man. He can
he can
put his lights out at any moment. I feel like if Danny Ye is going to win this fight, he's going to have to make it. He's going to have to turn it into a grappling match.
For sure. I agree with that. I like Barboza with the win here, though.
Yeah, I do too. I'll take Barboza by knockout in round two.
It's a quick one.
Quick.
I like it too.
And then we got Eric Anders taking on Christoph Joko. I'm going to take Anders to get back on track.
He needs to get back on track.
I like Anders. He's another one of those guys who came from a football background, D1, played at Alabama.
Yeah.
Didn't quite make it in the NFL, headed on down to the UFC. And his athleticism has almost given him a leg up to it's given him a leg up, but he still has, like, he's still got some shit that he needs to get down as he goes on.
Yeah, he's still got a bit of a learning curve.
That's
but he showed a lot of potential in the past.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, that about wraps up the fights from that card that we wanted to talk about.
One more actually did.
Something else you want to mention on that? Yeah. Song Yadong is fighting.
Song Yadong is fighting Chito Vera. That's a big fucking
fight.
Dude,
that is a banger. This is true.
I'm glad Song Yadong's in the country, too.
Yeah, he's I didn't think we get to see him fight. I didn't know that he was still in the USA because he is, of course, a China-based fighter. Yep. And luckily, he is here. Been here for a while.
Chito Vera is interesting, too. He's been on a tear.
Dude, he's tough.
Man. Tough motherfucker.
I don't know who wins this, honestly. It could go either way.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Song Yadong.
He's looked pretty vicious. He gets a win over somebody tough like Vera. That's
big.
Yeah,
that's
big. Pretty big, man. That'll be a banger, though.
Yep.
That's what I know for sure. I'm not going to make a pick there. I think it'd go either way, but I know it's going to be a great fight. Maybe fight of the night.
So,
could be.
Why did it take a global pandemic for the fucking UFC to put together a couple good fight nights? Jesus. These fight nights are great.
I know.
These are what fight nights should be.
We've complained a lot about the quality of fight nights in the past, but
these are what it should be. These are stacked. They're not headlining fights, but they're all guys who maybe the casuals aren't the best fighters, but they're guys you can put on ESPN and they can make a casual watch and go, "Holy shit, this guy's interesting. Yeah. I want to follow him. You know what I mean?" The UFC actually they did well. They did well with these two. I'll give them that.
I hope it lasts, because this could just be a byproduct of being forced to take 2 months off, which would then argue what many of us have argued for years, which is you need a smaller schedule because it's getting a little silly. But, hey, I'm loving it.
Yep.
It's been great to have them back. Let's hope that the safety...
Yeah, keep it on rolling.
...continues Hopefully. To be yeah, what it was safe for the most fun. Part. You know, there's a weird thing they did with the media and the coronavirus that, you know, has been kind of breaking out that I guess we'll end the show with this.
Yeah.
Right? We did lose one fight this past weekend at 249.
Yeah.
Jacare's fight was scrapped.
Against Uriah Hall.
Due to the coronavirus Jacare had. And let's not, that is what it is.
That's not the news.
That's not really the news. The news
that that's came what out, the, that stuff there for. That, yeah. Honestly, it's almost a good thing that they caught him, because, like, that's what the systems and the medical staff is there for in the case of something like that were to happen. And they were able to contain it and get him out of there and all that good stuff. But the aftermath of it is where the real controversy comes in.
Yeah, news first gets broken by Steven Espinoza of Showtime, but then it seems to get verified by many outlets, including Yahoo and several others, where this has actually been seen in the contract, where the UFC made their fighters, and this is the most shocking part to me, the media members basically sign a statement that said they would not criticize any of the medical procedures taken by the UFC against COVID.
Yeah, it's crazy. It just doesn't make any sense.
So even if they saw something going on that they disagreed with, they've signed a statement. And the shocking part about the fighters is that they'll withhold their purse.
Yeah.
And penalize them financially on top of it.
Yeah. And then they'll pull the freaking...
They'll pull journalist credentials. Yeah. That's what they threatened.
Yeah.
That's a shocking statement.
It's crazy.
I mean...
It is what it is.
I don't even know what you say about that. Like...
It is what it is, I guess.
Dana tried to say that that was all made up bullshit by Espinoza, and it's clearly not. Like, it's come out in enough sources now where there's no way that was made up bullshit by Steven Espinoza at Showtime.
I don't know. It's tough.
That is tough, man.
It's crazy.
I mean, I saw that on major news sites. Like, Drudge Report was running that story. Like, that's been major, major news. That goes out to, like, a billion people.
Yep. Well, which would make no sense, though, because, like, if you're a UFC fighter, you could just not sign it.
Don't fight then, I guess.
Guess.
Look how scared these guys are. Would there have been a better time in the company's history to form during a union than during this? Been like, nah, actually, I'm not going to go to work.
Yeah.
Well, guys, let's do the Zoom, fellas. True. And let's make a stand right now while the UFC's hurting.
Yep.
They had 2 months to organize some shit behind the scenes while the UFC was caught unable to stop anything.
Yep. 100%.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda, guys and women.
It's unfortunate is what it is.
Very unfortunate, because that just means more money for them. That's all it means. That's the only reason we advocate for that type of thing, so they don't get screwed by stuff like that.
We've gotten into 100 fucking rants on that shit, too. It's just like, I just don't understand how they don't understand the simple idea of free marketplace. Like,
just look at every other sport, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
I mean, even boxing's pulled it together.
Boxing. Dude, if this was a boxing match the other night, Tony Ferguson would have got paid $20 million, and Gaethje probably 10 or 15. But instead, they walked out with about a mil each.
Yeah, well, Tony got $500,000 flat.
Yeah.
Gaethje got two bonuses for an extra $100K on top of whatever he got.
Well, he got $550,000.
And then the Reebok money.
Yeah, so they maybe each pulled $1 million.
Yeah, maybe.
It's fucking sad.
No pay-per-view bonuses.
Suck. Well, there's probably some for this shit, because the numbers are going to be so astronomical, just because it's the only thing on TV.
They got 700,000 is where they think it topped out at.
That's actually not that bad.
It's not that bad.
For that card, that's actually pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
That's a good negotiating chip for Justin Gaethje, actually.
They deserve much more money than that, though. That's the
point. Henry Cejudo got paid $350,000. He's a fucking... He was a double champ a fucking fight ago.
Embarrassing, man.
Like, come on.
No wonder he's retired. They're not embarrassed when that comes out.
Like, no wonder he's fucking not even... No wonder he's retiring. There's no reason to fucking continue to risk it for nothing, and then risk your legacy for nothing, too, because you're like... Say what you want, whether you like Henry Cejudo or not. Every time he goes out there, if he loses it all probably.
Well, no,
because people know, because nobody likes it.
Yeah.
He'll lose it all if he loses. So why not retire on top? It makes all the sense in the world.
No, you're right.
You're not getting paid shit. Walk away.
Well, let's hope that sometime in the future these guys manage to get it together with a union and some kind of collective bargaining agreement and get themselves more money and stop stupid things like this ridiculous signing NDA statements that you can't criticize medical procedures in the middle of a global pandemic. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's outrageous. Nuts. And I got to question any media member that would sign that. That's just access journalism. Like, you're that worried about getting access to the fights?
Yeah, it's nuts.
Fuck that, man.
Yeah, but it sucks.
Whatever.
Well, I think that's our show today.
Yeah, we got a lot of fights in the future. We've got
a lot coming up.
10, 12 fights on each card.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got 20, 24 fights.
In the next five,
and then another
12 days.
Fights after that on the following Saturday on the 23rd, also out of Jacksonville, which is some breaking news here that came out. It's not going to be here in Vegas. It is going to be in Jacksonville.
And it's going to be Tyron Woodley versus Gilbert Burns as the main event.
Yeah, that's a sick fight. Tyron Woodley could be in trouble.
He could be. Could be a real big night for Gilbert Burns.
Yeah, we'll talk about that and more on next week's episode.
Yep.
If you're just tuning in with us for the first time, you can catch the show wherever you find your podcast, be it Google Play, iTunes, anywhere else. We're also on WBUZ 95 on Thursday night, 6 p.m. Here on the West Coast, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, that radio station and network is temporarily shut down due to the coronavirus, but it will be back up and running again shortly, and everything will return to normal. But, Paul, where can they find out all that information?
SWATMMA.com, where you can head over there, click the gear button, buy yourself a shirt, support the podcast, and thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Stay safe and stay high. Peace.